So what I wanted to do today is I kind of want to finish the series. And where am I at? It's just one of these mornings. You know that? There we go. Why isn't... I'm missing a bunch of slides. It's one of those mornings now, isn't it? So... let me try something here real quick. I don't know why that's on there. Okay, well anyway. You know what I like to do is I like to come to church around 7 in the morning and I'll sit down and I'll go over the sermon, go over the slides, make sure everything's just right. But like I said, it's been one of these mornings. By the way, Beth did fall in the parking lot, so we know it's probably the right decision to make for us to do that, to cancel the rest of the services today. What I want to talk about today is the final in my series, Marriage Eaters, in which we are talking about items or things that happen in your marriage that can enhance it or destroy it. Eating, as we say, is a good thing. We like to eat, but if we eat too much or not enough, then what happens is that we either grow strong or we become weak, or we can develop even eating disorders such as anorexia, bulimia, and those types of things. So to have a proper diet or a proper balance is what is so important today. What I want to talk about today are parasites. Parasites are things that get onto your body that can suck the life out of you. You know, some of the parasites might be like ticks or fleas or that type that you have on your animals at home. But in a marriage, it can come in many different forms. And so I want to show you a little video clip, make sure I got it, little video clip that comes from a movie called Fireproof. Fireproof came about maybe about 10 years ago, a series of very good Christian films. And as many of you know, I'm a critic of Christian films. Sometimes I think that we put out some pretty poor quality ones. And Fireproof was better. It was one of the better films. Now, if you're a fireman, you don't want to watch it because you'll tear it apart. But it has a very good message in it. And it's about a man who's about ready to leave. His wife has already left him. And he's trying to win her back. And this is the section where he starts to understand what a parasite actually is.
Day 23, watch out for parasites. A parasite is anything that latches onto you or your partner and sucks the life out of your marriage. They're usually in the form of addictions like gambling, drugs, or pornography. They promise pleasure, but grow like a disease and consume more and more of your thoughts, time, and money. They steal away your loyalty and heart from those you love. Marriages rarely survive if parasites are present. If you love your wife, you must destroy any addiction that has your heart. If you don't, it will destroy you.
Okay, Lord, no more addictions. Mr. Rudolph?
Caleb?
You doing okay today?
No, not really.
A parasite is anything that gets into our marriage that starts to sap the life out of it. As he said, it comes in many forms, usually in the form of addictions, but a lot of times it can come in other forms as well. Anything that takes the place of this in your life, that's a problem. God needs to be number one in your life. Then comes your spouse, then comes your children, then comes other. Many times we allow other things to become more important than God in our lives. Maybe a work, or sometimes we even let our children rule our home, or even children take the place of God. But God must be number one in our lives. Then comes the spouse. We've been talking about this the last couple weeks, that the men, you are the head of the home. And the main reason why you're the head of the home is so that you can show godliness to your wife and to your children. You are to display Christ to your family. And then it goes a little further and says, and the women are to be submissive to that authority. The hard part that we have with that is many times we don't trust him. Men, you need to live such a life that she can trust you. And so, God, then comes your spouse. Nothing should ever take the place of your spouse. Because the Bible says that the two shall become one. And so if you start to neglect your spouse, what happens is now you are starting to literally destroy part of who you are. So only God is the one who's to take the place of that spouse. Then comes your children. I believe that's the number one responsibility of parents, is to raise godly children. And I think that is so important that we do that, because you will raise children that will affect generations to come. Then comes other things. But many times, as I said, we put the other in front of God or the other in front of spouses. Those are parasites that actually sap the life out of the church. Now, if you ask me a question, what is the greatest marriage eater or sucker in a marriage? I believe is addictions. Now, it's not the one you think I'm going to think. Because I think the greatest ones that we have are electronic addictions that have come into our lives today. Yes, you have the other addictions. You have the alcohol and you have the drugs and pornography and all this other stuff that's there. But I think the greatest addiction that we have today are that of electronics. I know of two marriages that were destroyed because he actually loved his Xbox or his PS3 more than his own wife. I know of women who have found other men online and have left their spouses to go to be with that man. I know of a Pastor Kyle shared a story not too long ago of a wife who kicked her husband out of the house. And so he ran back in to grab something before he was kicked out, and he took his PlayStation with him. If you want to know if your children are addicted or you are addicted to electronics, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go up to your children, and I want you to take their cell phone away from them and see how they act and react. Most children will fight to keep it. That means they're addicted. Or maybe you need to take it away for a period of time and go through the withdrawal syndrome and say, boy, I wonder what's on Facebook today. Trust me, I think that is one of the greatest ones that we have in our day. Now, what is an addiction? An addiction is defined as any thinking or behavior that is habitual, repetitive, and difficult or impossible to control. Usually the addictions bring about short-term pleasure, but there may be long-term consequences in terms of one's health and welfare. Short-term gain, long-term pain. That's what addictions are. And they come in many forms. It could be chemical. And many times that's what we think of when you think of the drugs and alcohol and that type. I was looking at what are some of the chemical addictions that are actually there. And of course, you've got, you know, you got the caffeine and you got the nicotine. And it actually goes all the way up to heroin, crack, and all those types. But in some respects, many of us, I hate to say it, are addicted to coffee and caffeine because we can't have a nice day without it. Is that sin? Oh, now that one's between you and God. Okay. We have the eating, where we can eat too much or not enough. I have been a pastor for 32 years, and I can tell you, two of my churches, I had people in those churches that were over 600 or 700 pounds. Where they would, while we were carrying them out on an EMS stretcher, the Schwann's man was showing up and stocking their refrigerator with Schwann's donuts. And that's where they got their pleasure, was from eating. You also have people who actually eat too little, and that's where you get to the eating disorders such as anorexia and also bulimia, because they are actually addicted to getting that perfect lifestyle or that perfect size in their lives. There are also the sexual addictions, and that's big in our society. We're having major issues with that right now. Have you ever in your life seen a time in your life where so many female teachers were losing their jobs because they were having relations with students? It used to be the males, but now it's primarily becoming the females that you see on television with the numbers under their chins. Why is that? I got my idea. But I think they've started so young in life that now that excitement is now gone and they have so many partners that that's what brings about the problem. Habitual. It could be work. You could be a workaholic trying to get number one. You could be a shopaholic where your favorite place in Salina would be Walmart, but you know that's your favorite place. You've got to go out there and you've got to buy stuff and you've got in order to be happy. And as I said, you also have the electronic addictions that are actually there. Now, there are many doors in which these come in. Now, I'm going real fast through this because I want to get to the meat of what the scriptures say. Parental influence. Parents, if you do it, your children are probably going to do it. There's no better way to, easy way. If you smoke, they're probably going to smoke. If you do drugs, they're probably going to do drugs. If you drink, they're probably going to drink. Because you give the example to them. Social pressure. Go to colleges and universities and see what happens there. Especially the first couple weeks of when colleges start. It's just it's amazing what's all happening there. And you got these fraternities and sororities that you can't see the grass because of the bottles that are in the middle of their lawns. Sometimes we just do it because of out of curiosity. And the last one is the spiritual void, and that's where I really want to focus on. Because we as human beings are spiritual beings, and if we have not filled that void up in our lives with Jesus Christ, we're going to try to find something that's going to fill that void. Now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 12. And I want to talk about this void a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. And this is what Jesus says. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, It goes through the places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives and it finds the house unoccupied, swept and clean and put in order, then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That's how it is with this wicked generation. You see what he's saying? He says, when you kick those evil spirits out of your life, and just say you get it all in order, and the spirits come back and they say, oh man, you're in order and things are clean in there, I can now come back in. And what it says many times is he brings even more back in. Okay, describe it this way. Someone takes care of their addiction, but they don't fill that void up with Jesus Christ. And they relapse. It's going to be worse than it was before. And so what Jesus is saying is, fill that void up with the Holy Spirit, with God and godliness. And so what we have to understand is the key to overcoming those parasites in our lives is we have to fill that void up with something. And we have to fill that void up with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapon we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have a divine power to demolish strongholds. There is so much in this passage I want to bring out. Because I'll be honest, I struggled with this whole sermon. And the reason why I struggled with it, because I'm so used to, this is the way the world says you're to tackle this problem. This is the way the world says you're supposed to tackle this problem. But then you look at what the scripture, and the scripture says something different. And I go, man, how do I handle this? And then I came across this passage. Notice what it says. For though we live in this world, we're here, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight are not weapons of the world. So what he's saying is that the primary weapon that we use to fight these parasites need to be of God, of divine power. We have a divine power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to do what? To demolish strongholds. What's a stronghold? Think of a castle. Think of a castle. Think of a house that's surrounded by a moat and surrounded by a fort type of structure. That's a stronghold. Very difficult to get it in or get into it. And that's what we have to get in mind. When it comes to these parasites, many times they have become a stronghold in our lives. And we can't seem to overcome them. So how do we overcome them? With the power of God. Go, if you will, now to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. It says, look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So what is Paul saying? You need to be careful. The best way to avoid the parasites is to be careful not introduce them to your life anyway. I'm stuck on a nail. There. Sorry, Polly. Anyway, to avoid them altogether. That's the easiest way. Just don't do it. But our curiosity or whatever else, usually what brings us into that. And he says, not as unwise but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What do the parasites do? The purpose of the parasites are to destroy. If it's not of God, it's of the devil. And what does the devil want to do? The devil wants to destroy you. Wants to destroy your family. Wants to destroy any type of godliness that there might be. He wants to destroy your testimony. Go further. Therefore, do not be foolish. But understand that the will of the Lord is, the will of the Lord is. Next verse. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. I just like that word, you know, debauchery. It sounds so English, you know. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ the Father. So Paul was saying, the days are evil. We've already talked about that. Then he says this. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Now that's a command. It's not an option. He's not saying you could be filled or why don't you be filled. He says you as a Christian are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill that void in your life with godliness. Because if you don't, something else will fill that void. And so he says be filled with the Spirit. It comes from this Greek word, plerioshteth. I have to say that 10 times real quick. It literally means keep on being filled. It means it never stops. Someone described it this way. He says, if you got a glass of water and you put the glass of water and it's just, you leave it on the counter there, you're going to come back next week and you're going to see that part of that water has evaporated, right? So in order to keep that glass filled, what do you have to do? You have to constantly keep it filled. It has to be a constant action. It has to be a 24-hour, 365-day-year action in your life. Now, the root word for that Greek word is plerio. And there's three words that really are associated with it. Pressure, permeation, and domination. So, what do I mean by pressure? Okay. You have a boat. It's a sailboat. What pushes the sailboat? The pressure of the wind gives the momentum and gives the direction for the boat. Okay? So that's one. Number two is permeation. The best way to describe this is this. Okay? You go home and you drink some of this yummy Salina water, right? And so what do you have to do to make this yummy Salina water better? You put something in it. And so I'll put a little bit of lemon in it, or I'll put some drink mix in it. But let's say I put drink mix in it. I got this yummy Salina water, and I put a little bit of drink mix in it, and I stir it all up. What happens to that drink? The flavor permeates into the water. It takes over the flavor of the water. So when Paul says you are to be filled with the Spirit, which is a command, which literally means keep filled, he says, let the pressure and the power of the Holy Spirit work in your life, and may He permeate your life, and may He change the flavor of who you are. And the third one, and this is one we normally think of, is, and He dominates your life. He dominates your thoughts, He dominates your actions, He dominates who you are. The Holy Spirit is just not part of our life. He becomes your life. Christ just isn't part of your life. He becomes your life, and He becomes who you are. So when you are at work and you're working, you're sitting here going, how am I to work in this job, in this occupation that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ? When I am at home with my spouse, how am I to treat her in a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ? When I'm with my children and they are acting up, how am I supposed to respond to them to bring the glory and honor of Jesus Christ? When I go home today and I see some cars in the ditch, how am I to respond to that brings glory and honor to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because He dominates my life. The issue, we go back with the parasites of electronics once again, that's where the domination is. And many of us are dominated by that in many areas of our lives. Because of the fact that it's become such a part of us, those electronics. We get done with school, the first thing we do is we look at our electronics. We go home, the first thing we do, we get up in the morning, and it's all that. It permeates our lives. And the command is to be filled with the Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit and we allow Him to give direction, to permeate, and to dominate our lives, something happens to us. What does Paul say? He says, now what's going to happen is you're going to start greeting each other. How? With psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart. You know how unique human beings are? We have many different ways to communicate. And one of the ways that we communicate is through song. Songs usually bring back memories. That's one of the reasons why we have so many different tastes in music, even in the church.
Yeah.
And it is generational. This generation likes this, this generation likes this, this generation likes this, and this generation likes this. Because that spoke to their heart at a very important time in their lives. Abby had a song that she brought up today, and Be Thou My Vision. And I go, oh, Abby, I love that song. She goes, I love that's the one you didn't like. I said, no, I love that song. She goes, what's the one you don't like? I said, I'll tell you later. I'm not going to tell you because some of it's your favorite song, but it doesn't speak to my heart. But I said, but I absolutely love that song because something about it at a certain time in my life ministered to me. So he says, when we are filled with the Spirit, our attitude and our actions and our thoughts start changing. In fact, we start meeting together and we start singing, praising God. Now, Christians, important statement. You ready for one? If you don't like singing, you're going to be in trouble in heaven. Because what are we going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be singing and praising God. That's what we're going to be doing. Okay. So, and it goes on and says, you're going to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. When?
Always.
Give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, when we fill that void with the Holy Spirit, and we allow Him to permeate and dominate our lives, it changes who we are. And I think that might be one of the areas that we are struggling with in some of these recovery areas, is that we don't focus on the spiritual side, the fact of the spiritual side of man has to be dealt with and has to be filled with something. That's why in AA, NA, XA, PA, and all these other A's that are out there, one of the first things they do is you got to admit there's a problem, and then the second one is you have to admit that there's a higher power. You got to do it. And it just isn't admitting that there's a higher power, but you got to let Him permeate your life. Now, here's a warning. I want to go back to this. When the impure spirit comes out of the person, and it goes through the arid places seeking rest and does not find it, then it says, I will return to the house I left, and when it arrives and finds the house unoccupied, swept and cleaned and put in order, then it goes and takes another seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in to, and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Why? Because we have not filled ourselves with the Holy Spirit. That's how it is with this wicked generation. So do you hear me? Because this is so important. You have to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. And if you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, that's going to affect how you are as a parent and how you are relating to your spouse. I mean, how many women would love to have their husband come home singing songs and praise to God? The first thing, they're going to have a heart attack. But, you know, because that means he's happy, that he's joyful. Remember, there are times that I'll be behind my computer and I'll be listening to Pandora. And Pandora is a Christian, is a music app that you can get on your phone that you can just listen to music, the type of music they want. And every once in a while, there'll be a song, usually by Sons and Daughters. And and a musical group, Sons and Daughters, and then I'll just start singing along with them. And Polly's in the car, she goes, "What? Nothing?" Because she actually hears me singing, because it makes melody to my heart. Did I have, good, that's is in here, good. Back up, back up, back up, back up. What happened? I lost something. Can you bring it back? Did you see that last slide? I want you to focus on that. Okay, that's so important. Because I talked about the importance of being filled with the Spirit. Now you're saying, well, how do I get filled with the Spirit? I mean, it's easy to stand up and say, hey, you got to do good, you got to do it, but it never happened. Okay, here's the key to being filled with the Spirit. If you are born again, if you are born, that's exactly what I want. If you are born again, you have the Spirit of God in your life. But does he have domination over your life? This comes from Campus Crusade, it's now known as CRU. If you have any of your kids in college, you want to get them involved with CRU. That's the old Campus Crusade. Anyway, so you have the commandment to be filled with the Spirit, plus faith equals this, equals power. What it's saying is, we have the commandment to be filled with the Holy Spirit, plus faith means you start applying what the Bible says, because you're trusting it. And if you notice this little symbol right there, that chair is your throne. Who has dominion over your life? And what it's saying is Jesus Christ has to be on the throne of your life. Many of us have us on the throne of our lives and Jesus part of our lives. What they're saying is you make Jesus your life. You make the Holy Spirit your life. You start, okay, God, how am I to treat my wife? How am I to treat my wife? How am I to supposed to? Because I am now your servant, and I am now starting to act in the way that you want me to act and react in those ways. But many times we don't do that because what we say is, God, I'm the God of my life. You're part of my life. Thank you for the fire insurance so I don't go to hell. But I am going to live a defeated life in this life because I want to live it my way. That's essentially what we're saying. Instead, we put our finances under the authority of God. We put our children under the authority of God. We put our TV watching under the authority of God. We put everything under that authority. And then what happens is we're giving more and more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. More and more of ourselves is now going to God, and it's crowding out that other stuff. Okay, am I making sense? I want to make sure I'm making sense here. We start crowding out the stuff that is anti-God, that is the parasites in our lives. We start crowding them out. Just as the guy on Fireproof did. If my computer causes me to sin, I get rid of it. We took a baseball bat to it and literally whacked it up. If there's anything in my life that's causing me to sin or to destroy my marriage, I get rid of it. Because my marriage and my God is more important than anything else. And the warning that gives in Matthew chapter 12 is, okay, I've dealt with it, and I've cleaned myself up, but you know what? There just is one time I might be able to look at this or do this, whatever else. And that gives an open door for the demonic forces to come on, and many times you're worse off than you were before. I've talked to many counselors involved with addictions, and that's what they say. Many times they'll come back and they'll fall even harder than they did before until they finally come to the point where they don't want it anymore. That's when they hit rock bottom. So, what are the parasites in your life? Are you singing songs of hymns and praises to God? If not, then I'm asking you this question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you given him every area of a life? Every area. Because when we put him on the throne of our lives, we start crowding out the parasites that can destroy our lives. As I said, we're spiritual beings. We have voids in our lives. Let's fill those voids with Jesus Christ. Let's fill it with Jesus Christ instead of the other things. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this day, and it's quite an interesting day we're having again today. And so, Lord, we just pray for safety upon these people. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be safe on the way home today, and even our other churches that are dealing with some of this, may we be safe before them. So, Lord, be with us, and may your blessing be upon us all. In Jesus' name.